Blog Talk Radio.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London. Off to my left, far away in the distance, I can see just that faint, red, angry snap of anti-aircraft bursts against this steel-blue sky. About 5 minutes ago, the guns in the immediate vicinity were working. I was up here earlier this afternoon and looking out over these housetops, looking all the way to the dome of St. Paul's. I saw many flags flying from staffs. No one ordered these people to put out the flags. They simply feel like flying the Union Jack above their roofs. No one told them to do it, and no flag up there was white.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
I'm out of my own, walking the streets. Look at the things that I meet. I feel like I want to go. What do I feel? What do I know? But I still believe through the shame and through the grief, through the heartache, through the tears, through the waiting, through the years, for people like us in places like this, we need all the hope.
Good evening and welcome to the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the title of the show and the banner of the show is the English Defence League radio show, March of the Cloven Hooves. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. And my wingman for this evening is Dave Agador Milner. Tonight, we will be discussing headlines of the week with a special look at the relentless march of Satan's cloven-hoofed minions, the death cult of Islam, and their left-wing enablers. The clop of their feet on our streets is being answered with bold determination and a nice bit of pork. We invite you to join the festivities. No surrender ever. all that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. That was by the late, great Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make a violent revolution inevitable. And that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. And without a further ado, let me bring my wingman, my dear friend and colleague, Dave Agdor Milner. Welcome to into the studio, Dave. And I see, Dave, you've grabbed a seat and you're still munching away on those biggies. Hello, mate. Good evening.
That's right, Jeff. Well, they call them bickies in Australia, but they're talking about a completely different thing down there. Anyway, good evening to you. Good evening to everybody in the UK. Hello, and good afternoon to everybody in the United States. Hello, everybody around the world, and, of course, off Earth. Yeah, man, have we ever got a big, big show? We always talk about how we got a big show. We got a big show.
We have a big show. Every show's a big show, Dave. Every show. It's always mammoth. The shows that we do are always awesome, aren't they, Dave? Myself and Dave, we say it every time. But we do believe it, and we've had the feedback to show that that is the case. So, Dave, yeah, we have definitely got a great show.
We got stuff from the UK, we got stuff from the United States, we've got stuff from Finland, we've got stuff from Greece. It's crazy how much stuff we have. Jeff, you have the first article we're going to get up into. We're starting, of course, with the UK. And guys, as Jeff is getting ready to read this article, I'm going to set it up for you a little bit here. Because it's from tr.news. We've got a couple of those tonight. This one is from the 12th of this month, right? And this one, we had a very nice Remembrance Day, Veterans Day show, and that's how
we chose to
honor our veterans. Yeah, it was really good. And just going to read the article.
We always put something a bit special on for our heroes and our veterans out there, always, don't we? Go on, Dave, sorry, mate.
Yeah, that's right. And Jeff's going to read an article now that has a little bit of a different kind of take on the whole thing. So, guys, Jeff, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, there you go. And as you say, this comes from TR News. As I say, this was this the 11th or the 12th, wasn't it? This came from, which was last Sunday, wasn't it? Actually, 15, yeah, something like 12. What I've got here is Celtic's Green Brigade disgraced their war heroes. It was a bitterly cold Remembrance Sunday. Celtic were playing Motherwell, and as usual, Celtic's Green Brigade disgraced their war heroes. The Green Brigade, a chromosome short of a simpleton, on a bitterly cold day at Parkshead, Celtic's Green Brigade stayed outside while a remembrance event took place to honour the fallen. You know, those brave men who went to war so we can live as free people in a free nation. Well, once the remembrance event had finished and the game kicked off, the Green Brigade were heard chanting, "Stick your effing poppy up your arse," inevitably causing an uproar. To be fair to some Celtic fans, even ones who aren't exactly pro-British, they rightly booed the Green Brigade. The vast majority of the Motherwell fans also booed during disgraceful chant. Perhaps that represents a very much alive and kicking sectarian divide, the sort that plagued the north and south of Ireland in recent history. Let me go down to see if there's more. This historically chronologically challenged, during 1914, Ireland was part of the United Kingdom, and that was the very year that Prime Minister Herbert Asquith declared war on Germany. Owing to the summary of rejection, I think that's just... But I'm just going to read the rest of that. I can go on to the little highlighted bits. But we posted an article yesterday paying tribute to all of our war veterans as well as those currently serving in our armed forces, and rightly so, lest we forget. In that article, we mentioned the Canadian John McRae, who served as a brigade surgeon for an Allied artillery unit during the Second Battle of, I'm not sure how they spell, pronounce this, Ypres, Dave. I don't know if, what, Yerps, whatever.
He's probably... Ypres, Jeff.
Sorry?
Yeah, Ypres.
Ypres, okay.
That's how you pronounce it.
My voice goes, sometimes I just can't pronounce the names of things. In Flanders Fields, as revered, as it captures the significance of sacrifice, honour, and remembrance. The Green Brigade know very little about history, very little about honour, and an awful lot about disgracing their fellow Irishmen. During the outbreak of war, around 30,000 Irishmen were serving in the British Army. One of those men serving was Lieutenant Neville Woodruff on the 1st Irish Guards. He was killed in the first battle of Ypres, Yerps. You can read about him here and more. Let me go down. Irishmen who fought with and for the United Kingdom during the Great War returned to a hostile country. The Irish War of Independence had started on January the 21st, 1919, when a brigade of Irish volunteers shot dead two Royal Irish Constabulary officers at Solenberg, just outside Tipperary. Anti-British sentiment grew while hundreds of thousands of Irishmen were fighting the Germans in Europe. The political situation in Ireland made returning Irish soldiers' lives absolute hell on earth. In garrison towns such as Tralee, Ninard and Marlborough, ex-British servicemen have made up of 20% of the population. William Redmond, the son of an Irish party leader, said, ex-British servicemen, he was one himself, and their dependents were estimated at around 500,000 people. Although some First World War veterans did indeed join what eventually became the IRA, many did not. Many Irish First World War veterans returned home to find a different Ireland, many of whom were shot dead by the IRA. So much was the hatred for the Irish, for the British. The IRA had envoys who collaborated with Hitler's Nazi Germany as early as 1936. Sean Russell, the IRA Chief of Staff, 1926 to 1936, had an agreement with Nazi Germany. The IRA would cooperate with the Germans in any military conflicts they found themselves in. This was not the first time the British Latin Irish collaborated with Germans. During the First World War, as Ireland was becoming politically unstable, the precursors of the IRA, the Irish Republican Brotherhood, had a splinter group in the IVF. So just one minute while I move down. This needs to be read. People need to know what this was about and how sick these people really are. As I say, this was not the first time the British 18 Irish had collaborated with Germans. During the First World War, as Ireland was... I'm sorry, I did read that again, so my apologies. It's just, as I was reading down, I've gone over it again. The IRA, IVF, Irish volunteer force were to be supplied with German weapons to fight the British in Ireland in the Easter Rising of 1916. The anti-British Irish have a strong history of collaborating with Britain's enemies. And let me go down. There was a picture. There's a picture of Hitler and the Mufti of, I think it was the Mufti of Jerusalem back then at the time. I'm right, or Mufti of somewhere. Anyway, Hitler was an enemy of Britain. He made use of Palestine. Let me read that again. It was an enemy of Britain. He made use of Palestinian Grand Mufti Haj Amin El Husseini, who said that Germans and the Arabs had the same enemies, the English, the Jews and the communists. So when we see photos of Celtic RA-loving anti-British Green Brigade waving Palestinian flags at football matches, should we be surprised? Let me go down. Oh, just bear it. Fingers stuck there. The British and Irish have a sordid history, a side with Germany as well as international terrorist organisations and groups. They do all this while simultaneously desecrating the memories of the sacrifices of their Irish forefathers who fought with the British in the Great War against the Germans. It's not unusual to hear chants of stick your effing poppy up your arse from those who were a chromosome short of stupid, because they are too wrapped up in their hatred of Britain to even consider the sacrifices of their own and what that sacrifice actually meant. The passion, the commitment, the love and respect that we show to our war dead, which includes Irishmen who made the ultimate sacrifice, is something we should all be proud of. I'm not sure if that's the end of the story, but I think it is. Yeah, I think that's it, Dave. What can you say about disgraceful scenes like that? We must never be surprised with some of those Celtic British hating cretins, who they are. Yes, they just hate us, Dave. They hate us, what we stand for, and they'd rather collaborate with the enemy every time. And they're an embarrassment to the Irish people, and there's a lot of good Irish people. I know a hell of a lot of good Irish people, and they are disgusted with their ways and what they do. Absolutely. Dave, back to you, mate.
Well, Jeff, what gets me about this one is when you look at tr.news, at that article, and what you see is another picture in there of Celtics fans showing their respect, quote-unquote, for the Palestinian flag. See, you've got Muslims who are infiltrating there, as they're infiltrating everywhere. And there's this sea of Palestinian flags, Jeff. You have the story in front of you, so you can see this picture that I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
And to have that happen as an answer to respect for those who have died to keep the people free is sickening to me. Not only because the Palestinian nation is basically fake and phony, and it's just squatters in the Gaza Strip that Israel has chosen not to deal with, but because it represents, again, the death cult of Islam, putting its stamp, again, somewhere else in the world and rubbing everybody's noses in it. And, of course, making sure that they play the victim just in case someone says anything about it. Here in the United States, and I know in the UK, as this is an example of it, and a lot of other places, the left have to act an ass at ceremonies involving veterans course, you know, we have Veterans Day here in the United States, and we have Memorial Day. We have two of them. And you guys, of course, have Remembrance Day in the UK, and the left have to act like asses.
While everybody else fights and protects them, that they can attack people that defend and stand up for their country and for them even. They don't even realise that. But when people come back, and what we see, people were shot in the knees, people were murdered. You see the sectarian killings that went on in 30 years of the Troubles. That's what it is about. It's pure hatred. But I'm glad there's been a cessation of all them terrible things, but you still got those cretins out there that don't deserve the same air what anybody else breathes. They don't like the people that fought for their freedoms. What would they rather? Maybe they would rather be controlled by a Hitler Germany. Maybe that's what they think would have been better. But it just shows you the mentality. They probably haven't got a decent brain cell like the whole lot of them who hate the British and the Irish, who stood and fought with side by side with us in the wars. You know, I think that's so discrediting for your own people to do things like that. But there you go. We are up against sick people. They are sick. They are bent on hatred. The hate is so instilled in these people that you'll never rid it of that hatred, Dave. And ladies and gentlemen, it's sad. That can never end. You can't take hate out of people's hearts. You just cannot do it. It's impossible. It's impossible,
well,
isn't it, Dave?
The point I was making was kind of the one you made, which is, they're using the very freedoms that these people fought for to insult them and also to bring down our nations. And that gets us into the next story, Jeff. And this one here also comes from the UK. And it's out of TR.news. Now, they put this out on the 13th of November. And I'm not going to read this whole thing, but I want you guys, if you're interested in this, and you should be, to go and look at this. And this includes Americans. Guys, don't think this isn't going on in the United States. In the 2018 elections, some 90 openly Muslim candidates campaigned. They didn't all win, but they campaigned. And don't think that there is an organization among the Mohammedans to get their people in so that they can eventually institute things like Sharia law. Now, I'm going to read just bits of this article, okay? You should go and check this out and look for it at tr.news. Its headline is Islamist Democratic Jihad, Operation Muslim Vote 2019. And that ought to scare the pants off you. Just that bit right there. It started out. Ashar Bukhari founded MPACUK, the Muslim Public Affairs Committee, Islamist Democratic Jihad, Operation Muslim Vote 2019. The subhead, now I'm going to go ahead and just read down some of the stuff that they're producing, okay, for their own, for the consumption of their own rather robotic Mohammedan allies to bite into. And this just shows, guys, they're going to show up at the polls, okay, because they're determined to bring our countries down. Under this one little banner here, Operation Muslim Vote 2019, I didn't put these in the slides because I didn't want to make people sick, okay? But, you know, they've got all their places you can get hold of them. They're on Facebook, of course. Facebook isn't shutting them down. They're shutting down Patriots, but they're not shutting them down. They're on Twitter, ditto, same thing. And they've got a website, okay? And let me get down here. Now, what they've done is put out little banners and posters like the following one, okay, that I'm going to get to right now. If I can manage to do that, just a moment, guys. Okay, there it is. Now, under their stupid name, they've got Operation Muslim Vote Success. Okay? Actually, yeah, success. All right? The organization has helped de-seat 8 out of 11 Islamophobic MPs. They're bragging about how they've replaced the MPs that they don't like, people who actually want the United Kingdom to survive, with their own people, and they've named them. In 2005, Lorna, Fitzsimmons. Okay, that's from 2005, and from 2010. Let's see, we have Phil Woolis. Andrew Dismore. All right, Terry Rooney, and I believe I've heard of Terry Rooney. Let's see, Claire Ward. All right, and they go on further, guys. Okay, from 2017, Amanda Salloway, Gavin Barwell, Chris Hopkins. Okay, and guys, if you have an MP that you believe has the best interests of the United Kingdom at heart, you can guarantee they're going to be working to unseat that Minister of Parliament. There aren't very many good ones left, and Jeff can tell you that just like I can. Now, underneath that, they've got no other Muslim group in Europe has done this. See, they're proud of it, guys. They're proud of it, and they're going to keep on doing it. There's a video in this article that has the leader of this bunch of people talking about how he was very offended by the drawing Muhammad thing and defending the attack on the Charlie Hebdo people in France and all of that. This guy, just as Jeff says, this guy was a hater. He is a hater. And he is organizing Mohammedans to vote and to replace people with people who support them in the UK. And as I say, guys, in the United States, this is going on there too with organizations, or here I should say, with organizations like CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood and things like that. What I'm saying here, very important, Jeff, very important. What I'm saying here is you got to get to the polls. You may not love the candidates that are out there or whatever, but don't miss your chance to vote, because not only is the left going to cheat, they and their Muslim allies are organized. You better best believe they're going to have their butts on that line to vote. So you better get out there and vote too. Jeff, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, they're trying hard, and this infiltration from within, which we've been seeing for quite a number of years now, continues. And it's going back over 20 years ago that it was actually that come out that this is what they wanted to achieve. By this time now, they wanted to achieve the status of what they've achieved already. So basically, it's they're just better. They're progressing their plan of enforcing their views, their caliphatic. Views.
Works
and
for me.
Trying to suppress and oppress, suppress and oppress normal. Everyday thinking people. They want a utopian Islamic state. We've already got a state within a state in the United Kingdom, and you all know that. Whether people say it's not happening, you've only got to look at East London. Don't tell me that hasn't got the feel of a foreign land, because I tell you what now, it's just like that. It never was, but it's become that way. That is it. And as you say, the thing about, my part of the world where I live, which is East Anglia, I know that good people in where I live have got common sense, and they will be voting. Nothing to do with the lefties, nothing to do with the triuggers or anything. They'll be voting conservative. This is a very much a conservative area. You know, that's the way people will vote, like they've done over the years. They're not going to vote for people like Jeremy Corbyn, the pleb. Not going to vote for the tree huggers. They want to vote for common sense. It's common sense is how to do it. When I cast my vote, I will use common sense. And I'm not trying to tell anybody how to vote, how not to vote. But just think about what we've experienced. Think about the betrayal. If you was like me, a Brexiteer, and you sat and you've watched the deterioration of politics over the last number of years, and a total betrayal, of course you are disillusioned by the political theatre of where we are now. And of course we want to change for the status quo that we've seen for many, many years. It's crying out for that. Hopefully we will see some. I don't know. I'm not going to say nothing, Dave, because it's in the end, I mean, we haven't got that long to wait before the election's coming up. But, and I do believe that it will. Johnson will get the shout. He'll get the call. And hopefully he can move forward with Brexit. That's all we want. We should have done it on the 31st of October. We should be out, should be gone, should be looking towards our friends, our good friends, the United States and across the planet. We don't need to deal with the EU. We're done with them. They can jog on, they can do one. But they, just my views, mate.
There you go. Well, Jeff, yeah, but it is important. It is important for people to get out there and participate. And, to that, I've got something here, Jeff, that my own brother sent me. He does a little bit of digging on his own, and I have to say that I'm proud of him. For doing that. Yeah. He supports.
If he's your brother, you should be proud. I'm proud of you having a brother.
Well, I appreciate that. He supports the Unpleasant Blind. I do appreciate that, Jeff. He supports the Unpleasant Blind Guy, my show, and he supports everything I do in exposing Islam. And part of that is because he has a certain amount of experience traveling around the world and seeing a lot of this stuff for himself. One of the things that's come out has been several surveys that the Democrats over here in the United States are sending around. Now, as we know, a lot of their candidates have not been getting rave reviews. They're doing everything they can. At this point, they're in desperation mode. They're doing everything they can to try and get somebody to hate President, to beat President Trump. They all hate him, of course, but they're balkanized. They're balkanized to a point now where they're just basically throwing anything at the wall to see if it sticks. Now, this is the current list of candidates that they've got that they want people to decide whether they want to support or not support. I haven't seen it this organized, Jeff, in 51 years, not since 1968. Yeah, not since 1968.
I've seen more organized piss-ups at breweries, Dave.
Exactly. Now, this is the list of candidates they've got, and these first won't surprise you, but I will say add Deval Patrick to that. He's talking about getting into the race. He's the former governor of Massachusetts. That state is a disaster as far as overtaxation, allowing criminals to just run loose. It's insane down there, and for this guy to run is an absolute joke. But he's officially said he's going to run, or he's very much considering running. But at this point, here are the others. Of course, we have creepy Joe Biden, a great guy to vote for if you want. Yeah, great guy to vote for if you want your early teenage daughter felt up. We've got Amy Klobuchar, excuse me, hardly nobody knows who that is.
Oh, my God.
We, of course, have, you want to talk about disasters. We, of course, have the guy from my own state, Bernie Sanders, the Burn, yeah. We've got...
Crazy old Bernie.
Yeah, the Crypt Keeper himself. We have Elizabeth Warren, the fake Indian. We have Kamala Harris.
Love it, Dave. Love it, man. Elizabeth Warren.
We have Kamala Harris, who's basically running on the fact that she's a black woman. Otherwise, her political experience is having started her career basically on her back, being closely associated with another Democrat, but she's in the race anyway. We have Mr. Racist himself, Cory Booker. We have Julian Castro.
Is he running as well? He's like,
yes,
he is. 1% or something, rather than his popularity.
Oh yeah, well again, he's pretty much just a racist. We have Julian Castro, whose policies are very much like Fidel's. One of the most dangerous people in my opinion in the whole Democratic slate right now. I really hope this guy doesn't get anywhere near even a vice presidency. We have John Delaney. I have no knowledge of who this guy even is, but there's a few of those. We have We have Steve Bullock. There's another guy I almost never heard of. We have Tulsi Gabbard is one that could represent a threat because she's a veteran, and even though she follows socialist
policy, she's a very attractive
policy,
lady, isn't she, Dave?
well, she's that too.
Didn't she go head to head with Hillary Clinton? Hillary Clinton tried to down her or something. Am I right, Dave? Sorry, mate.
I think she might have, but she's a danger in that she is a veteran, and that's going to count big in her case, even though she is also a socialist. We have, of course, Pete Buttigieg, who is basically running on racism against white people and the fact that he's gay. We have Andrew Yang.
Five on this match.
Yeah. Well, and Buttigieg is white himself, so that's insane. We have Andrew Yang, and Andrew Yang's big thing is he wants to give everybody quote unquote free money. He hasn't said how he's going to pay for it, really, and also institute a social credit system. He says not like the one they have in China. Yeah, right. Okay, so that's Andrew Yang. All right, and we're going to scroll down here a little bit for some of the rest of them. Yeah, we've got that. We've got Andrew Yang. Okay, we have got, just a moment. Okay, there we go. All right. And we have got, we're going to bring it up a little bit. Okay, we've got Wayne Messon, another guy I never heard of. We've got Marianne Williamson. I'm right about that. Yeah, again, I never heard of her, so we've got Michael Bennett, another one that's pretty much a nobody, Joe Sestak. I always call him, well, Jeff, you wouldn't know this unless you were to watch the Saturday morning program, Land of the Lost, in the 1970s, but I always call him Joe Sleestak. We've got Tom Steyer, and now, here's the big ones, okay? The three big ones. First one is Michael Bloomberg. This guy has been a complete disaster as mayor of New York. He's been an absolute disaster. This is the kind of guy, Jeff. I'll tell you this, Jeff and listeners. A few years ago, he actually threatened a single cab. It's just a cab driver. I forget how the cab driver offended him, but he threatened to put the guy out of business. Just because he offended this guy. He's a billionaire and he's a sleazeball. Now, here's the final two, okay? Get ready for it. One of the candidates they're floating, asking people if they might support him or not, is Michelle Obama. All right? And
Michael was. Yep. You mean Michael?
Well, depending on how you view it, yeah. And the last one, Hillary Clinton. They're actually thinking about
yeah.
running that again. They're thinking about running Hillary Clinton again. So there you go, Jeff. There's the list so far, and who knows, it may get bigger. So thank you to Dean
Miller, my brother. It's an interesting mishmash of characters there, isn't it? Are they all on day release from the asylums, Dave? You know, they've got to go back or whenever they've done their bit, you know, because that's what it sounds like to me. And, you know, the last one, Hillary Clinton. I bet your president would be chomping at the bit to get into debates with her again and the other couple. I mean, that's it. I mean, really, what are they running on? I mean, what are they offering the people? Cut the or enforce taxes, put taxes back on. You know, what is it? Something like $77 trillion for health care, one of them said. Some have said not quite as much, $50 trillion. That's $1 trillion, mate. That is trillions they're talking. I mean, that is stupid, and what can I say? We live in a land of confusion, as I've often said, but with these people, it'd be a land of despair. If ever he's got a hold of the reins of power, Dave, oh my God. That's all I'm going to say. Wow, what a shambles,
all right.
Dave. What a shambles.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to thank Gene Milner for providing that list. There may be more coming from him. So, brother, thank you. And we're going to move on, yeah. We're going to move on. But, yeah, you're right, Jeff. I mean, none of them are offering anything good. And I can guarantee with any of them in office, it doesn't matter who they are. You better believe that the Islamic agenda will move forward, and they'll make sure that it does. You know, I mean, if they're prepared to put a Mohammedan on the National Security Committee in our Congress, they're prepared to just make sure that they can have their way and take over. And yes, I do mean take over. Go to tr.news, everybody, again, and you'll see an article on there about the Great Replacement. And how that's not a conspiracy theory. We might hit that again in a future show. You never know. But it will be a good thing for you guys to check out. Yes, it will. Now, Jeff, it's a bit early, but I'm going to go ahead now. It's a bit early because you've got about 7 minutes before you have to call in. And what I want to do...
Yeah, I'm okay for a little while, Dave.
Right? Yeah, I know.
I'll call back. It'll just save any mucking about in a little while, wouldn't it, mate? So, yeah,
certainly,
you go ahead. Thank you,
All right. Well, sure. Well, what we're going to do here, guys? Now we've been to the UK. We've been to the United States. Okay. And what we're going to do now, after Jeff comes back in, we are going to go to Finland. That's right, because the cloven-hooved march of Islam is happening all over the planet, okay? And it's happening way up north in Finland as well. And we're going to get into that. And this actually involves yet another hate hoax. This is something that has become common among Mohammedans. They accuse people of a quote-unquote hate crime, and then it's found, hey, there was no hate crime. And this one has a bit of a twist, okay? Welcome back, Jeff. And you guys are going to hear that right now. This is a three-minute story from Breitbart.com. Check this one out from Finland, folks. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Hate hoax in Helsinki, Somali Social Democrat politician faked racist taxi story, by Kurt Sindelka on November 14, 2019. Abdurrahim Husu Hussein, a Social Democratic Party politician and Helsinki city councillor, has admitted to making up a hate hoax about a racist passenger in his taxi because he was angry. Mr. Abdurrahim Husu Hussein, a Somalian immigrant and left-wing politician in Helsinki, retracted his fictitious account of experiencing racist verbal abuse from a passenger in his taxi after the taxi company found that GPS data from the cab tracker refuted his claims. I apologize for my actions and for lying. As a decision maker, it is my duty to be honest. I depend on my voters' trust and I have now broken that trust. I shall do everything I can to restore trust in my actions, wrote the left-wing politician after his deception was revealed. A little over a week ago, Husu took to Twitter in order to garner sympathy for an incident in which a passenger in his taxi had allegedly told him to go back to Somalia, prompting Hussein to kick the man out of his cab. Later in a blog post, Mr. Hussein claimed that the man had acted in a racist manner, asking him why he was in Finland and where he was from, reports Suomen Radio Oy, the National Public Broadcasting Service of Finland. The taxi operator, Taxi Helsinki, concerned over the allegations, opened an investigation into the matter and found that Hussein's claims did not match the GPS record logged in his taxi. The investigation by the company also found that no one was abandoned and no passenger was removed from a ride. The matter has been discussed with Husu and the matter has been dealt with in this respect. The fake hate hoax drew condemnation from the council group chair, Ibu Ina Heinel-Woma. I'm extremely disappointed in the actions of our council group member Husu. A person in a position of responsibility should act with the dignity required of the position. We will discuss the matter in our next council group meeting, Heinel-Woma wrote on Twitter. Speaking to Helsingin Sanomat, a Finnish newspaper, Husu seemingly defended his hoax, claiming that even though this incident was fake, it was representative of something he believed to be real in society. Here's the whole point left out. Taxi drivers with foreign backgrounds are being subjected to constant racist harassment, Hussein said. He later admitted that I wrote a tweet on Sunday because I was angry. Earlier this year, Husu came under fire for writing a racially charged rant on Twitter, saying, all Finns party members and their voters/supporters are racist. Yes, I said it. Need proof? Look at their history and how they've been elected as the second largest party in Finland. Follow Kurt Sindelka on Twitter @KurtSindelka or email @Sindelka@Breitbart.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Incidental Radio Show with host, yes, Spider Mitchell. Yes, he's in the web, and now he's on the air. Jeff, what do you think of that one, dude?
Well, it shows you what I've always said. When you show these people power, they abuse their powers and lie. And this is what we've seen once again. Someone who lied, then was found out, knew there was no way out because the GPS had got him bang to rights. Because if you ejected a customer, the GPS would show the stop time and when you returned back on the road. It was quite obvious there was no way out. There was no way out. That was the proof. GPS had sussed him out. If he had CCTV in the cab, which most of them should have, that's what we say they should have, and it would have been without any issue whatsoever. That would have never arose. It's just because he didn't like the guy. He just wanted to make a fuss and he wanted to lie and to discredit the other person who is fair. So, yeah, there you go. It just goes to show you power with these people. You show power, they abuse their rights, which is that's what we've always said, Dave, haven't we? You can't offer these people power because they step it up a few notches. So anyway, that's just my thought on it. And any feelings, any person's feelings that was hurt during this, especially the passenger, I think he should be compensated for any aggravation that it might cause. Because you know it probably caused him. He probably had all sorts of death threats, blah, blah, blah. like we hear all the time, Dave. But that's just me thinking and speaking my own views. Back to you, mate.
Well, yeah, Jeff. I mean, we do a lot of these stories, and we do them because of the fact that this happens all the time. Okay, what we need for people to understand that these are going on all the time, all right? And it's Quranic too, Jeff. This kind of behavior is right out of the Quran. The deception in Islam, okay, is key. Yeah. And, you know,
Kia.
The deception...
Not tequila, ladies and gentlemen, tequila.
Yeah.
The art of lying, okay. Ladies and gentlemen. That's what tequila is, the art of lying. When you're part of the Sharia, you are allowed to lie to better the cult of death. There you go. Back to you, Dave.
Well, yeah, you're allowed to lie, and it's, again, it's Quranic, okay? I'm just going to read a couple of little things out of the Quran here. And this is from the religionofpeace.com. Guys, you need to have this in your toolbox if you really want to understand Islam and its threat. This is Quran 66:2. Allah has already ordained for you the dissolution of your oath. In other words, you can lie your head off, and you're covered, man. You know, you're covered. Now, this is the one that I used, Jeff, right here. And this is the second one. When I posted this on social media, this one here is Quran 40:28. Okay, excuse me. Quran 2:25. My apologies. Allah will not call you to account for thoughtlessness in your oath, in other words, for lying, but for the intention in your hearts. So as long as you're trying to cover for Islam, okay, you're allowed. You're allowed to lie. You're allowed to be deceptive. A Mohammedan knows this. They use it. They use it all the time to sucker in well-intentioned people in all of our countries who... here in the United States, we have the view, hey, as long as nobody gets hurt, you worship the way you want, okay? But we know, of course, that a lot of people get hurt when it comes to Islam. But they lie and say that they don't get hurt. And, of course, you have people who are either mentally lazy or they want political gain from all the Mohammedans coming into our countries, or for whatever reason, they buy the lie. And in the cult of Islam, it is allowed. And I just read you two examples. There are plenty more, okay? That is what this guy's statements are based on. Now, he says, all this racism happens. It happens, yeah. Okay, I'm not saying that there aren't cases.
The cult of death is more racist than anything else that's ever been on this planet. The whole thing, the cult of death, is all about hate and deceitfulness. So there you go. Sorry, Dave, I'm sorry to interject there, but I just want to add that, you know. That's how it feels.
Well, Islam is not a race, Jeff, and we keep saying that. And I'm just gonna come out and say it. Now there are never any issues involving real racism. We're talking about stuff involving skin color and stuff like that in Finland. I'm sure there are some, okay? But Islam is not a race, and someone should not be allowed to hold office and get away with trying to destroy a reputation or lying about it to create tensions and hatred into the Mohammedans for non-Muslims. They've already got enough of that. And this guy, is still going... Yes, this guy, I'm sure, is going to be able to keep holding his office, and he should be kicked out of that office. He should not be a city councilor, all right? But with political correctness, this monster will probably be allowed to stay in office, and as you notice, Democrat, social Democrat, working for the left, working for the people that enable Islam, and enable all the stuff that we talk about here on this show, that Jeff and I talk about all the time. Okay, they enable the rape and life destruction of young girls and boys who are not Islamic, right? They enable that. They enable wife beating.
March
they
of
enable
the cloven hooves, Dave. That,
yes.
It just come to my mind as you were saying it, the march of the cloven hooves. Think
that's,
about that,
that's
ladies
why,
gentlemen, what we just said there. The march of
that,
because that is what it is. It's pure evil. Sorry, Dave, back to your buddy.
Yeah, that's why I suggested that for the name of the show, because Satan also has cloven hooves. But the left
exactly,
enables this.
Brother.
They enable the mutilation of young Islamic women's genitalia. Okay, they enable that. They enable the practice of young Mohammedans torturing dogs and cats to death. They enable the ongoing practice right now, people, okay, of slavery. And it's mostly Mohammedans that are involved in the modern slave trade today, not 150 years ago, not 200 years ago, today, right now. There are slaves and Mohammedans are trading them, and the left is enabling that and saying, you can't tell those truths about Islam. It's not politically correct. Well, guess what? We're going to keep on telling that truth. Are we, Jeff?
And, of course, let's not forget necrophilia, Dave. They're very much, the cult of death is very much. So it just goes to show you, necrophilia, everything that we speak about the cult of death or the evilness of the cult of death is all satanic. Ladies and gentlemen, that is it. We sum it up as it is. It is satanic in every step of the way. Everywhere it treads, it is like the march of the cloven hooves. So there you go.
Yeah.
Dave, I know I'm going around in a bit of a circle there, but you brought up some things that I just had to join and interject with a few of my own thoughts there. Thank you, Dave, as usual.
Nah, well, Jeff, you know, I mean, guys, that's one thing you can count on is that Jeff and I are going to talk over these stories before the show. We have a nice little briefing before the show, and I, you know, once in a while show Jeff a slide and go, hey, you know, what do you think of me putting this one in? I won't say what the slide was I wanted to put in for today. It
yeah.
was funny.
Yes,
Jeff,
we,
Jeff
ladies and gentlemen, myself and Dave, we had a discussion about it, and I thought that maybe it might be a little bit, what's the word I can use?
Extreme,
controversial, yeah. Should we just call it rather controversial?
Okay. Yeah, controversial.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was funny. I mean, we both did laugh, so
it was funny,
else, we gotta get
and I'll use it in any aspects, but to do radio shows, it's we would have probably had a warning. Oh, I might have even had this show shut down if I had gone with a slide that we wanted to put up there. So, yeah, we had a little discussion, and
yeah.
Dave laughed, and I said, we can't go there, brother. I know I wanted to go there, and then if I was on another platform or do so, I would have probably gone there with Dave, but not on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, well, that's it, and we discussed the stories just as much, and you know, Jeff finds them, and I find them, and we give each other input back and forth about it, and that's why we have them here today, and another one now guys, as we head into the last about half hour of the show, okay, we're going to get up into somewhat happier stories, I think, a few things that are a little bit happier, and Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to go ahead and play this next one. This one's out of France. Yeah, that's right, guys. We've been to the UK. We've been to the States. We've been to Finland. Now we're going to go to France. Yeah. Jeff, if you're ready for this one.
Bonjour,
I'm going to hit it.
Dave.
This is...
Bonjour. Merci beaucoup. Au revoir. Go on, Dave. Go for it, mate.
Muy bien. Yeah, muy bien, mon ami. Yeah, all right.
Don't know that one.
Hey, guys. We're gonna take this off here. This is 2 minutes and 47 seconds long. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. I don't know how to say it in French, but that's what it is. Here we go. This is from Breitbart.
Merci beaucoup.
1 year on, majority of French still support yellow vests. By Chris Tomlinson on November 16, 2019. A year after the start of the Gilets Yellow Vests movement, a new poll shows that 55% of the French people still support the protesters. The poll, released by Elabe, noted that just 29% of French were against the movement, with another 15% who said they had no opinion either way. The highest support comes from supporters of populist leader Marine Le Pen and far-left politician Jean-Luc Mélenchon, Le Figaro reports. Around 64% of the respondents said that the movement made it possible to form social bands with others, but just 29% said they thought the protests allowed French President Emmanuel Macron to better understand the realities of everyday life. While the violence at the Yellow Vest protests has calmed in recent months, the early weeks of the protests saw high levels of violence directed toward police by protesters, and vice versa. According to a member of the French riot police, the CRS, the demonstration that took place on the 1st of December last year was so intense that some feared that government could have fallen. The officer, who identified only as Stéphane, spoke to France Inter and said he was stationed in front of the Élysée Palace, the home of the French presidency, on the day of the protest, and his colleagues were fearful of the protesters. I saw in the eyes of my colleagues the fear that we could not hold our position. If we had been attacked where I was, we could not hold it. The Élysée would fall, he said. When you have 3,000 yellow vests that pass in front of your barrier, you say to yourself, there, if they realize that we are only three and that the Élysée is just 100 meters, we will perhaps call our families to tell them we love them and we will not be there tonight, he added. A week later, Stéphane said the CRS decided to confront protesters at the top of the Champs-Élysées, saying that he was frightened by the anger of the protesters. They had the drool that flowed from their mouths. They were animals, he claimed. There was really hate. People wanted to kill cops, burn everything, break everything, and I thought that day, there will be deaths. Either on the police side, protesters' side, or both, the officer said, and noted that his police superiors were clueless during the protests and had underestimated the anger. Condemning the higher-ups, he added, the quality of a command. We do not see it in peacetime. We see it when it gets hot on the ground. Well, on the 1st and 8th of December, they were bad. Paris, in the ministry, they did not take in the scale of the situation.
And welcome back to the English Defense League radio show. The last 30 minutes with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, come on down that spiderweb. What do you think?
Yeah, just one thing I wanted to say, yes, of course the police was frightened and they said, you know, from last December the 1st, whatever it was, that they feared that would fall, that they would fall. And they talked about this, that and that, but let's be honest, the real injuries that's come about and the deaths have been on the protesters' side. I think between 12 maybe to 15 people have lost their lives during this mass demonstration. I don't think police have been injured. I don't know, Dave, if I'm wrong, I'll put my hands up, but I haven't heard of any police gendarmes losing their lives over this, but I've heard of the protesters. So, of course, he's looking in the way of the gendarme. But we have seen the violence from them on the protesters. We have seen people with their hands blown off, losing eyes, people dead on the street, one shot in the head with a rubber bullet. I think it was a rubber bullet or something like that. That was up close and that was personal. But these people are sacrificing themselves because they want a decent life for their families, for their children and for the future generations. That's all they're doing it for. But yes, of course it gets violent, but it has been, the response has been overkill in that way I look at it, that the basically you just got the like yellow vests. I don't know, they might have fireworks, I don't know what they got, but we're not seeing them with guns firing at the police. Otherwise, we would see a lot more police then. It's in the hands of the police and the gendarmes and whatever military police are out there firing into the crowds. We're not seeing that from the crowds themselves. So it's a totally different way to look at things. But and there has been a lot of people that's lost their lives over this. And as I say, it's it is what it is. It goes on. They're not going to stop the people doing what they're doing. They want it's right for themselves, for their families, for their children, for the future. And sometimes you've got to fight, and sometimes, unfortunately, you paid a heavy price of having to defend and to protect that you love so dear. You know? Sorry, Dave, I just had to say that. I just had to... It was on my mind as I was hearing what that place. Of course, I was, you know, it's almost worrying when you know there's a confrontation, but you know that they can use violent force against. And that's what Macron actually told them, to open up on the protesters going back a while ago, wasn't it? Open up on them, kill them. So someone ended up, one of them, he said, so a woman ended up really seriously or dead. Of course, she should have been there. That is it. This is the way that these people in power think about you, the people. They only care about their self-interest. They don't care about you, your families, or anything else. They just care about power and the corruption that goes with it. Back to you, Dave.
Oh, yeah, Jeff. You didn't hear me. I had my mic muted, but I was going, yeah, go on, Jeff, do it, do it, yeah. because I'm in complete agreement with you. Before I start my analysis, I have to say that the bot that Breitbart uses to read their articles, first of all, it's very good, and I wish all the newspapers used it, because it saves us a lot of work. But at this time in this article, It mispronounced the Champs-Élysées and called it, like, I think the Champs-Élysées, and I had to laugh while I was going on. But to get to the
real point. Oh, we'll get it right, Dave, you know, with things, technology, that'll improve, buddy.
It will. But to get to the real point here. All right, yeah. First of all, to work backward, Jeff, from your statement, the Macron is a complete slime. We have to remember, this is the guy who came out as president in France, and it was to the anthem or whatever of the European Union. He said of himself that he really didn't consider himself to be a Frenchman. All right, he's basically a stooge for a super state. And does it surprise me that he doesn't care that people have been hurt or killed in the demonstration? Not at all. Because you can just tell that the man, okay, with my vision, it's tough to tell. But I will say that there are certain people that just have this look of something like, you know, a Gestapo officer about him. You know, the guy that heads up Facebook looks pretty much the same. All right. It's just this sociopathic stare into the camera. I don't care. I'm in charge, and I'm going to step on you if I don't like you. Things of that nature, man. That's just in the guy's psyche. And it is terrible that their nation is being led by this scuzzball. Now, as to the Yellow Vest protest itself, the one that gendarme was talking about, all right, it is rather interesting to think about an alternate universe where the Yellow Vest protesters did realize there were only three cops protecting the Elysium Palace, and they overwhelmed them and went in, and the government did fall. I rather wish it had fallen, because there might be, at this point, a French government that was ready to kick out the EU and already had done. It's very possible that that might have happened. And as you said, Jeff, this, you know, okay, guys, people make a lot of jokes about French people and about how they like to surrender and all of that nonsense. But one of the things about the French that history tells us is when they've had enough, they've had enough. And they've had enough.
Yeah.
And that was shown. That's been shown this whole year. And I have enormous respect for these people that faced up to the police and did what they did in these yellow vest protests. I have a lot of respect for them. And another sideline, Jeff, or a little bit of a continuance of the story, what I didn't bring to the table was that, yes, December the 1st is coming up, and the French government is laying on a lot of police for the December 1st anniversary of that first yellow vest demonstration. So, you know, they're expecting trouble. And I even think, Jeff, that they want trouble so they can do more to the protesters. You know, that's my little bit of it right there. But, you know, hey, guys, while you're praying tonight, of course, save a mention for the EDL, and of course, save another mention for the Yellow Vesters along with the Hong Kong Patriots, because this is the good news, that there are people out there that are willing to stand up to tyranny. And yeah, that's my view of that. Now, we're going to have one last one here, Jeff, and you know about this one. as I posted on social media, is what I would call delicious resistance. All right, and if you're ready, Jeff, I'm going to run this last story here. This is from Breitbart, and it's 2 minutes and 15 seconds. You ready, brother?
Yeah, it's real good.
All right, you guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show, and guess what? We're leaving France, and we're going down to Greece now. Greece is the word in this one. Check it out from Breitbart.
Greeks protest migrant redistribution by hosting pork and alcohol barbecue, by Chris Tomlinson on November 12, 2019. Members of the right-wing group in Aminoi, Macedonia, United Macedonians, has stirred controversy after organizing a pork kebab and alcohol barbecue protest against the transfer of migrants to the Greek mainland. The event, which took place on Sunday near the Diavada migrant camp in Macedonia, saw the group purpose to offer pork souvlakia, local wine and beer at the entrance of the migrant camp in what they described as a new and unique protest. News outlets including the Greek Reporter and London's The Times reports. The protest did not go entirely to plan. However, due to counter-protest from the leftist group Kirfa, who said of the event that it was clearly guided by racist motives, insulting the religious beliefs of people who were driven out of their homelands by conflicts or poverty. The demonstration was, instead, moved to the center of Diavada, where protesters marched while holding Greek flags and crosses. Police say that the night before the protest, far-right activists attempted to force their way into the nearby migrant camp but were unsuccessful. Prior to the event, left-wing Syriza MP Harris Mamoulakis condemned the event, saying it shows disrespect for the religion of the refugees and the immigrants. Tensions in Greece have been high since the government announced that some 5,000 migrants would be redistributed from overcrowded migrant camps in the Aegean to the Greek mainland. Many of the migrants sent to the mainland were previously housed on the island of Lesbos, where the Moria camp, which is designed to house around 3,000 people, currently has a population of around 15,000. Tensions in Lesbos have also been high in recent months, with two Afghan migrants, a woman and a child, ending up killed after a riot broke out in the camp in September and led to a fire that spread across the camp. Only weeks later, on the island of Samos, another fire erupted in a migrant camp holding around 6,000 people after a fight between Afghans and Syrians over food. Follow Chris Tomlinson on Twitter at @TomlinsonCJ or email at Tomlinson@Breitbart.com.
And welcome back to the English Defense League radio show with yours, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, pass that ouzo, brother, and tell me what you think.
Bacon. A bacon Barbie. Oh, yeah. Not a lot you can say about that. Unfortunately, some people just don't like bacon and pork. Well, some of us do. And of course, there was a fire in one of the camps, and a woman and a child was killed, and there was another fire. They're fighting amongst themselves. It's nothing to do with us having a barbecue or something just outside the camp. They just want to fight and riot anyway, whether you're having a barbecue or not, Dave. It's typical, isn't it?
Well, Jeff, when they're not coming after us, they're coming after each other. I mean, it's again, violence is just part of Islam. It's an ideology. It's a cult that allows people to be violent, and that's why it draws in. I mean, some people are raised in it, and these are in my opinion the real victims of Islam, because they're not given a choice. Okay, they are told you worship this way or you die. Okay, they're the biggest victims. But then they go out and victimize other people, because violence is just what they're taught to do, man. And I find this story very interesting and fun as well. First of all, I love the demonstration, because it's kind of a party demonstration, you know. A little bit of ouzo, a little bit of, you know, maybe pork chops, a little bit of bacon on the side. Yeah, very nice. You know, it's an imaginative way to make your feelings known about your country being inundated with Mohammedans that are not going to assimilate, again, to your nation's lifestyles and or anything else. All right, Jeff, you and I, over the years, and with the rest of the team, people have come and gone, have covered all sorts of demonstrations, and I really like this one because of that. And there's one other thing, which is the lefties say, well, it's you're not respecting Islam. Yeah, there's nothing to respect.
Nothing
you
to
can't
respect about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, what's respectable about it? You know what I mean, Jeff? I mean, you challenged people.
I've been
in
demonstrations where the old bill was told, especially from, there was a guy in my Ipswich division that we was on a demo, and the old bill said, take your pig's head off. It's offensive. And if you feel it, we don't, we'll arrest you. So, yeah, no, it's true, Dave. That's what they said, that they would arrest him for section whatever, for not taking it off.
Right.
He said, but I like it, it's mine. But they was adamant, and, you know, he had to take it off. So there you go. Just because he was showing respect to pigs. Pig power, for goodness sake, people. Pig's power. That's all it is. Pigs had feelings. They dive.
They do. You know, the little pot-bellied pigs were big as pets in the United States in the 1990s, as we know. And
yeah.
I mean, pigs are great. Pigs are great, man. I mean, okay.
They are.
They do a few things. Okay, you can take your pigs, and first of all, you can take their poop, and you can put it in generators, and they produce methane, and that can actually power, your houses, your factories, your small towns, whatever. And the pigs themselves, I mean, my God, you know, you got bacon, you got pork chops. I mean, it is, they're almost the gift that keeps on giving, okay? And honestly, I think that they are, as all other animals are, a gift from God, if we use them properly. And quite honestly, if Mohammedans don't like that, then that's their problem. They should move to a place where people don't do that. Okay, they should move to a place where pork isn't served. All right. And again, I'm not saying that it was a good thing that a woman and a child were killed. Obviously, that's a terrible thing for them and for the families.
No, it's always a tragedy where anybody's life, being snuffed out or whatever the situation was. It could have been a stampede. They don't know the total circumstances. None of us do. And never will do. We just heard a woman and a child was killed. And so there you go.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Very sad, very tragic. But unfortunately, it's the way the cult of death reacts about things. It always has done. We always do. But Dave, we're going up not too far.
Well, let me just get this in, Jeff. Let me just get this in. We've got a few minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
The left is going to point at that woman and that child dying, that tragedy, and say, it's all women and children in these camps. No, it's not. Guys, we need to reemphasize this. This is almost all military age men. They say, they're fleeing conflict in their own countries. Well, you know what else they are then? They're cowards. They're cowards that are trying to come into Europe and in the United States to suckle off of our welfare systems. Most of them don't have any skills. And I think it is only right, and I'm speaking for myself, not for the EDL, to say that they should be sent back to their countries and make their own countries livable places instead of trying to bring our countries down. You know what I'm saying, Jeff? There you are, brother.
Well,
that's my
thought. If they do bring it down like their countries, Dave, it'll be no different than the country they want to escape from. The social benefits
will
dry up because the countries have become bankrupt. And then what are they going to do? Run away to another country where they've got welfare? What's going to happen then? I don't know.
You're right, man. You're right, Jeff. You're dead right, man. That is the logical progression of what they're doing. And eventually, there won't be any other countries where producers can work hard enough and produce enough to feed all of the welfare parasites that will wind up in their nations. And they will wind up a few generations down the road, surely, but they will wind up in countries exactly like the one that they were, fleeing for economic reasons. Best, Jeff, to let them stay in their own countries and make those countries great. Yeah, baby. There it is, man.
Exactly. Yeah, I just want to say one more thing. When I think of this little island, this little country that's done so much over thousands of years, and to think that we've got invaders who want to come over, is going to change our landscape, going to change everything to this, where they come from, the 6th century Dark Age. They want us to go back there. I don't think anybody wants to go. I like what we've done. I like my history. And yes, it has. There was dark times in all of our histories, wasn't it, Dave? In the United States, the United Kingdom. We've all had it. We got over it. We moved on because we had to. Salem witch trials, blah, blah. We all had it over here as well, didn't we, Dave? But we moved on. We decided that was the right thing. Unfortunately, with the cultists of death, they will never move forward. They will never check things out and do something because they all say that cult of death comes from Allah. It comes from Allah. Everything's come from Allah, which is a lie, a total lie. But Dave, we finish off as we normally would talk about the lie of the cultists and the march of the cloven hooves clomping away.
Well,
but back
you
to
know,
Dave,
Jeff.
Your final.
All right. Well, hey, my
final
thoughts
this evening, sir. What a great show. I've loved every set. I've been feeling really good doing this show tonight as well. Thank you, Dave.
Excellent. Jeff, I'm really glad you're feeling well tonight. And that's a priority, people. But, what you just said, the big lie. And it's not, I'll borrow Lonnie Poindexter's phrase. Check out Lonnie Poindexter, by the way, guys, on AFR, okay? You know, just look that up on the web. All right? It's not just a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell, okay? And that brings in the minions of Satan, the cloven-hooved ones, and it's all involved in this march. But you know what? We're going to be out there telling the truth and oppose them. Whether we'll have a barbecue or whether we'll have a show telling the truth. We've had a really good, hard-hitting show, Jeff. And it's been
the
an honor and a privilege.
The bacon sarnies are on you, Dave.
Step up, people. Yeah, step up. And please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. My regular show times are 1 p.m. Eastern in the United States, Monday through Friday, and midnight Saturday in the United States. And in the UK, that's 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 5 a.m. on a Saturday. So please check that out. Then my shows can also be heard on the Western Free Radio Network and, of course, the SHR Media YouTube page. So, yeah, guys, please give those a listen. And, you know, a lot of times it's little shorter versions of this program that you can get a little bit more of a handle on. And sometimes it's regular Unpleasant Blind Guy shows where I do interviews and whatnots, and it's really pretty cool. But I just want to say that, yes, the news is still good because there are still people out there willing to stand up for self-rule, for personal liberty, for freedom, and for justice, and to all of those, the people in the Yellow Vesters, all right, the freedom fighters right now in Hong Kong, the foot soldiers, the angels, and all of the patriots of the English Defense League and all of those of like mind around the world, be prosperous, be blessed. And, of course, Jeff, you know what I'm going to say. No surrender. Back to you, brother.
Ever. Ever. And once again, thank you, Dave, for the script and for the slides this evening, as usual. It's been a pretty awesome show tonight. But we'll be back again this Thursday. If you want to check the website, www.englishdefenseleague.org.uk, you can always donate to the page and you can always catch out our shows on our website. So please go there, check it out. With that, myself and Dave, we're done. We're done for this evening, but we'll see you Thursday. No surrender. Please be vigilant out there. Be safe. And we'll see you Thursday. God bless you all. Here we go. Yeah, okay. All right, lads. Stop pushing it. Go on then. Do it then. We're going underground, Dave. Okay.
People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy. I can't see the fine things happening here today. Pleasure as I hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging between the facts. You see, here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader to place your trust. And their lies will shut down and their promises come. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. Shout.
go. We're done from the live broadcast for this evening, but we'll be back again this Thursday. I hope you've enjoyed the show as much as myself and Dave as been bringing the shows to you and the news stories. So I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back again this Thursday. So let me just do this, and then we will be out of here. So, once again, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You take care, stay safe. All the patriots out there thinking of you, guys and girls. With that, this is the English Defence League radio show signing off for tonight. But we'll see you Thursday. Don't forget, no surrender ever. God bless you all.